Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hello, Greg.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Well, it's my spring break right now, and it looks like it's going to be spring break for another month for me. So it's interesting. It's a really surreal and weird time.
Yes. God bless all you parents who, I've said this before, et cetera, but I don't understand how the human race has survived. So, all the more power to you guys. You're awesome. I'm not. I don't think I would have the strength to survive.
Thanks. It's, a week with my kiddos when I can, take them out is really fun.
Right.
But both of them are kind of too little to just be cooped up at home all day.
Right. Yep.
So it's been a bit of a struggle. I can't just let them play by themselves because that's how, someone ends up choking on a puzzle piece or something.
Right.
It's been really, really stressful. But I've been painting when I have time, and it looks like, in Houston at least, it looks like, we're going to probably have to be more careful than some cities because it seems to be spreading.
Right.
I just realized if somebody listens to this 3 or 4 months from now, maybe it's a lot better. But this is the first week of people taking the COVID-19 virus really seriously. So in Texas, they just declared a public state of emergency. So in Texas, all the bars are closed. All the restaurants can only serve takeout or delivery, and public gatherings of more than 10 people have been shut down. So, a game store running a tournament basically risks, breaking the law. So, it's definitely affected the hobby, too.
So, guess what Idaho's done?
What?
That'd be nothing, Bob. seriously, our last Friday, our governor declared a state of emergency so that we would gain access to money, but literally nothing else.
So just, it's an emergency, but we're not going to do anything?
Yeah, so locally, basically all the schools are closed, but it's all been a local decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Boise may have just closed down their dining rooms in restaurants, but there is nothing happening at the state level as far as directives. And he's we don't need that right now. And people can make a local decision if they want to.
That's a problem.
And it's a very Idaho response. I guess.
Just leave it up to the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife works in a very important place. That's all I'll say for federal government. And basically, there's still a ton of people deciding not to stop any of the important government things. And from just talking to people, she's realized that there are two people that have probably been infected and interacting with these important people. And then they've been and that's from Monday to now. So that's 4 days that these people have been required to show up to work. And they've probably spread it to elderly, important people who now run the risk of, having serious illness.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. We have. Anyways, we don't need to. I just did a podcast where literally the entire podcast was us talking about the coronavirus. So
okay, so let's not do this. Hey, who's immune to COVID-19, Jay?
Who's that?
synthesoid androids who fight evil.
Man, I wish I was one of those, I think.
I think I would love to be one, too. So today we're going to talk about the Vision.
Awesome.
Yeah, I am really excited for him.
So why don't we start off with talking about his card and reading his stat?
Yeah, totally. So he's got a little bit more stamina. He's got 6 stamina on both sides. He's a medium move. He's size 2. He's threat 4, so that puts him in that like sweet spot that has a lot of competition. He has really interesting defensive stats. So I'm just going to tell you his base defense is 2 physical, 2 energy, which is bad. And then it's 4 mystical, which is good. So he's got this weird defensive stat, and we'll get to it later. His free attack is called Solar Energy Beam. It's a beam 4, which is very nice. It is 5 power, which is good, and it costs 0. And then after the attack is resolved, he gains 1 power just automatically. It also has a really good wild effect. The wild effect is before damage is dealt, the target character loses 1 power for each wild in the attack roll, and then he gains that many power. So what's really cool about Solar Energy Beam is that since every single character you hit is going to generate 1 power base, and then however many wilds you get, you'll sap that many power if they have them. And then another cool effect is, like, since beams generate separate attacks, if you're using Cabal, he will generate 1 power for every separate character he damages as well. So it's really cool because it's a beam attack and it has sap power. His strong attack is a physical attack that's range 3, so still decent range. It's 7 dice, which is good, and it's 4 power, which seems a little bit expensive at first, but then the ability is really cool. The defending character does not add crit results in his defense roll and cannot add additional dice to their defense roll as a result of crit results. So basically, he analyzes his opponents, and he does not allow crits to affect defense rolls when he uses Synthesoid Android. Or Avengers. It's really cool. He has several really good superpowers. The first one is Calculated Trajectory. It is the best throw in the game, just straight away. It's the best throw in the game, I think. It costs 2, so it's cheap. You choose an interactive terrain feature, both of size 3 or less, and within range 2, and you throw it medium. So a couple things, it throws size 3 enemy characters or terrain, you throw it medium, and then it's only cost 2. It's an amazing throw. He has another power called Synthesis, which costs an action, but it's basically, it just generates 2 power. So if he is standing on a point and he doesn't have a target to attack, or you don't want to for some reason, you can just use this action to give him power. Which is really cool because it'll help his other ability, which his next ability is a reactive superpower called Rapid Phase. And it, you know what, we should talk about Rapid Phase after we talk about phasing.
Okay.
So his phasing it's an always superpower that's during the power phase, he chooses a phasing type. He can either have enhanced density or phased. So enhanced density is he rolls 3 additional dice when defending against physical attacks, and he cannot be pushed until the start of the next power phase. And then phased is he rolls 3 additional dice when defending against energy attacks, and he does not suffer collision damage until the start of the next power phase. So these powers explain why he has only 2 physical and 2 energy defense, because he can basically pick one of them every turn, and it'll be 5 defense. And then he gets a second defensive ability. Either he can't be pushed, or he cannot suffer collision damage. So that's really cool. And then his reactive ability, Rapid Phase, lets him switch between the two. So it costs 2, and it basically says if he's targeted by an attack, he can use the superpower and basically change the token to the other one. So when you buy Vision, he comes with a little like Vision symbol that is it's like. It's a little see-through on one side for phased, and it's like glowing on the other for enhanced density. So you can switch him if he's targeted by an attack. The weak spot of that is that if you throw something at him, he cannot switch. Which means it's probably more useful to be phased most of the time, so that you can't have things thrown at you. And that they have to try to use physical attacks, and then you can just switch to enhanced density. He also has flight, so he acts as a size 5 when he moves, and he's immune to the bleed and the poison status effect. He's exactly the same on his injured side. So, he's a really interesting character. He's got a lot of, he's got really solid offensive abilities, and I think he's got some of the coolest, like, individual defensive tech in the game. So what do you think, Jay?
I like him a lot. I think he's really cool. I think that he's, I think it's also interesting that, it feels like he kind of shines a little bit if he's able to use his rapid phase as needed. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's kind of like an interesting counterplay between people picking Vision versus people picking Loki. Because Loki has the ability while within range 4 of this character, enemy characters must spend one power before using a superpower or a reactive superpower, an active superpower. Anyways. And so, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and that also kind of brings in, like, I think he's amazing in Cabal and Avengers.
Right, yeah.
And in Avengers, he's paying 1 to rapid phase, or if you're going up against Loki, he has to pay 2, which is rougher. But paying 3 for rapid phase makes me question if it's worth it, in most cases.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how many attacks you're likely going to be facing and if they can switch up the type of attacks.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It does... It's funny because there's a lot of characters that feel like they have no defensive tech against mystic attacks. Mm-hmm. And Vision kind of fits in that as well, where it's like, well, at least he has 4 mystic defense, unlike some characters with like 2 or 3. But he does kind of fit into that weird design space we have, where we just have a ton of characters that have no defense against magic. I believe Ultron is the only character that has any sort of defensive tech against magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Zemo has 4 defense as well, but...
So, what do you think are some situations where you especially like this character?
I really like Vision on scenarios where he gets to use solar energy beam a lot. I think he really shines when he's just sitting on way too much power, so he can... you know, rapid phase as many times as he needs to, and then he can use Synthesoid Avenger twice on his next round. I really think he likes things like Gamma Shelter. I also think he really likes anything that requires a ton of power, because I think Vision will sometimes have too much power, and he needs to get rid of it. So, like, the new scenario that comes with Star-Lord, where you can pay 6 power to gain 2 victory points and remove a civilian token. I think that's a really good one for Vision. So he could potentially, you know, get the civilian out, get 2 victory points, and then he can pick up another civilian and then defend it with rapid phasing and his abilities. He's really cool because I feel like you can play him very offensively or defensively, and he shines in both.
Yeah. I think another situation that's interesting with him is that you know, one of the things that's been a character that's been kind of strong slash having a big impact on the game recently has been Shuri. Mm-hmm. And so having him is an often something that can move up to a secure objective, and if he's enhanced density, not be getting pushed off is something that I think is an interesting counterplay as well.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. Yeah, I think being immune to pushes is fantastic. I don't think we have anything else that's immune to pushes in the game. So it's kind of cool that Shuri can push the Hulk, but she can't push Vision.
Right. There's a few other, like, a few, I think, corner case examples, like...
Captain America and Bucky, if they use their character card together.
Yeah.
Until the end of the line. But I think that might be it.
So, what situations do you think Vision might be weak in?
I feel like he's not super great against magic, but even then, defense 4 is good. I think he's not as useful in spread-out scenarios, where you don't have 3 points to contest. You have, like, 4 So I don't love him as much as in something like Infinity Formula, or what's the other one? I'm sorry, Extremis Consoles. I think he likes the secure scenarios with only 3 points. Again, because they clump up and he can solar energy beam to just bank power really easily.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that's interesting with him is that he fills that 4 threat level range, which is a really competitive point range. Do you see him being worth his points? Do you see him cracking it into your playlist?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We talked about him a little bit when we did our Captain Marvel episode, and I think at the time we both kind of thought Vision might just be like a better energy attacker. I see him a lot differently now, but I love Vision. And I think in Avengers, he's definitely going to make almost all my Avenger lists. Just because I love him being able to sit in like gamma shelters and not be moved and just solar beam everybody and make my opponents focus on other targets instead of Vision.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like you had mentioned, I think that he's really good in both Avengers and Cabal. I don't know that you're going to be looking at him. I mean, I guess possibly as Guardians you might consider, but probably not. And I wouldn't think, I mean, I guess possibly Wakanda, or sorry, not Wakanda, but Guardians. But again, I would think probably not. It seems like some of the things that people have been excited with the Guardians have been stuff like Thor or some of the higher point level things to kind of balance out some of the cheaper options that the Guardians have. But that's not to say, like, I think that him being good in Cabal and Avengers is quite good, and it will make him see the table a fair bit.
I think he might be really strong in Guardians. I just haven't had any practice with that yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so which affiliation do you currently think you prefer him in?
I think Avengers all the way. I've been trying to build lots of different Avengers lists and pick non-affiliation members to go in. And honestly, Vision keeps making my first 4 picks. So I pick Captain America, Thor, Black Panther, and Vision, and then I go from there almost every time. I feel like it gives me so many really like nice builds. The only thing I'm missing from like a 10-man roster then is a magic user to kind of round it out, because there are currently no magic Avengers. But I love Vision in Avengers. I think it's worth it for the one cost rapid phase and then the one cost throw on his activation.
Yeah, I mean, we've said this before when talking about Avengers, but superpowers that are reactive, you get that much more bang for your buck out of Captain America's leadership ability, obviously, and the ability to do a rapid phase for one power seems really good, and having 5 dice in the one that you're expecting to be kind of your main what you're going to get attacked in for that round is also really good, obviously. So I am curious though. I want to have a discussion with you about you made the claim that calculated trajectory is the best throw in the game, and seems like there's probably only 2 other contenders I can think of at this point. So one of them would be Hulk, and he can do both a terrain feature and an enemy character. They have to be within range 2, and he can throw medium. So that one seems just better than Vision, because it does both, and it's size 4 instead of size 3. And the other one that I'm actually, this one I'm kind of curious about. So I've had a lot of practice using MODOK's throw, which is Bow to the Will of MODOK. Sorry, it's not Bow to the Will to MODOK. It is Imbecile, All the World is a Weapon to MODOK. And on that one, you choose a size 3 terrain feature. It doesn't do a character, but it you can be within range 3 instead of range 2, and it throws range long. Granted, vision ends up being farther up the table than MODOK does, and so you have to be closer for the range, and then the throw not being as far isn't as big of a deal. And it is a big deal, obviously, that vision can do both terrain and characters, and MODOK can only do terrain. So when you initially made your statement that you thought the vision had the best throw in the game, I was kind of debating whether or not I thought MODOK's was better, but it seems like you might be right that vision edges out MODOK.
I think the only one that comes close is Hulk's or Thor's. And you brought up Hulk's. So Hulk's, the difference with Hulk's in my mind is that Hulk is...
You're playing Hulk? Six.
Yeah, you're playing Hulk. But so it's attached to the Hulk, and the Hulk cannot easily gain power like Vision does.
Sure, yeah.
So it being two cost it's two cost because Hulk is Hulk, and he can't generate power normally, basically. And so the Thor one is a better comparison. The Thor one is a 3-coster that can throw size 4 characters or terrain. And I think they both are more comparable than anyone else. They both have incredible throws, but I think Vision's is just it being 2-cost and throwing size 3s medium. I think that's my favorite.
That's fair enough. And it is another example of something that is really fantastic with the Avengers affiliation. It gives him a power that he wants to do during his turn. And so being able to do a throw at 1 power, it's going to make it so that he really is going to be getting a lot of value out of Captain America's leadership ability between doing that throw on his turn and then having the option of the rapid phase through the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, any closing up thoughts on Vision in this episode?
I love him. I think he's fantastic. And if you're playing Avengers, I think he should probably be in your roster.
Yeah. I'll say, I think it's interesting that, and I think we might have said this in the previous episode, that, you know, starting out, it seemed like, or it got to the point where it felt like most people were preferring Cabal over Avengers. And now Avengers are starting to kind of fill out their roster and have a lot of options available. And mm-hmm. I think that's adding a lot to their power level.
I think so, too. And they're really fun.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about our comic book book club. So which one did we select?
We are reading Vision from 2015. And we're only reading the first half of the series, which is issues 1-6.
So I have a confession to make.
Oh, no.
I read through episode 6, and like after us reading Secret Empire, or was that the one we read last time?
Yeah, we read Secret Empire last.
Okay, so like after reading 12 of the double episodes of Secret Empire, I was like, there's only 6 more in this, and like episode 6, it feels like it didn't leave it in a very good spot. I want to just finish it out, and so I did end up going through and reading all of the the series.
There was someone in the Discord as well, that the Discord you can get if you follow us on Patreon, but the Discord who was like, this is insane. Is this a real Marvel comic story, or is it like an alternate universe? And I'd be like, no, man, it's in the normal Marvel universe. It's pretty cool.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and give us some origin story and some background on Vision.
Yeah, so real quick, Vision is a synthesoid created by Ultron. So something that I think a lot of people like don't really understand is that he wasn't made to be a robot. He was made to be like an artificial human, so he has like internal organs that are different. But he's not like a robot. He's supposed to be like an artificial life form that was created. So a synthesoid in Marvel is basically just like, yeah, he's like a human. It's just he's made with all like robotic parts. So in this series, at the very beginning of the series, before this happens, Vision has been able to create a family. So the reason he did this is because he had to like reboot his mind. And one of the things he did was to separate his emotions from his memories. And so he created this family. So he made a wife named Virginia, and then he made two kids, Viv and Vin. And so he created his kids to be 16 years old, and he created his wife, and then they moved into a suburb of Washington, D.C. to try to live a life together. And so I think it's almost, this comic series is almost like Desperate Housewives, if you're familiar with that, where it lampoons the classic family in the suburbs, you know, 60s shows, but there's something like dark and twisted underneath it. So the summary of the first six issues of this is basically they move into this suburb where they are not really accepted and everybody thinks they're weird. And some people think they're, you know, threatening. And the Grim Reaper, who we've seen before in one of our previous Avengers comics, comes and tries to attack the family. He basically cuts Viv, and then Virginia kills him to defend the kids. And realizing that, like, Vision would defend the family over the world, and kind of having this idea of, like, she doesn't want to hurt Vision, she buries the corpse in the backyard. But what happens from there is that someone videotaped her and tries to blackmail her to, like, leave the neighborhood. And then she ends up confronting him, and he tries to shoot her, and she phases. The bullets go through her and kill the man's child. She then hits him in the head and puts him into a coma, at which point the police get involved in investigating, like, how this happened, because the kid got in a fight with Vin, and Vin basically, like, choked him, and Vin was suspended from high school for that, because he's super strong and he doesn't know how to handle conflict. And so the police are investigating, and it basically, our six issues end with a character telling the Avengers that, oh, I skipped a part, I'm sorry. So in the sixth issue, a neighbor's dog digs up the Grim Reaper and bites on his bladed weapon, and basically it electrocutes the dog. And that's how Vision discovers that Grim Reaper didn't attack his family and then run away, but his corpse is buried in his backyard. So we then have this really creepy, like, Dr. Frankenstein Vision who cuts the dog's brain out and uses it to create a dog for his family. And it shows that their house has been, like, destroyed, probably by the family fighting each other, but we don't get to see that. And then Vision has basically made the decision to, like, defend his family and protect them from these dark secrets that are coming out. And it ends with someone telling the Avengers, this is the problem, that Vision has chosen the fate of his family over the fate of everyone else. So he will kill you all, he will kill your families to protect them, and we need to do something about it. So it's this very much like Vision is trying to have a family, and he's trying to protect them from their own actions. And he's trying to prove his own humanity, which is pretty cool. But the way he's doing it is very dark and twisted, and it's very, like, creepy and eerie as well.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I'll have some follow-up questions with what you thought of some things with this as we go on. But first off, why did we end up picking this story arc?
So I ended up picking this because when this comic came out, it was the number one selling comic. I believe it won like several awards for best, like, comic books as it came out. And it's very different. It's not like anything else we read. And it kind of shows the kind of weird stories that Marvel Comics can do when they allow, like, a talented creator to step out and do something different. The entire story is only 12 issues, and it's just, I think it's really fantastic. It's just a really cool, it's not a superhero story. It's more of a like a suburban family, like, story. I really like comparing it to Desperate Housewives, but I think that comparison isn't going to work for a lot of people.
Do you watch a lot of Desperate Housewives?
I did, yeah. I think I watched the first 4 seasons, I believe. I liked it. Have you seen it?
I'm not sure if I'm thinking of the right show. I think I might be thinking of, like, the Real Housewives shows on Bravo.
Okay, so Desperate Housewives was designed kind of as a parody of like the suburban sitwives. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically a mystery drama that with like a lot of comedic elements. I'm trying to pull up how many seasons it has so I can like be more. Someone listening will be like, "That's not right. This is only 3 seasons." And...
I think I do remember. Wasn't it like an ABC show or something like that?
I believe so. Oh wow! It had 7 seasons.
And it came on 8 seasons. Came on Sunday nights?
No, I don't know. I didn't watch it. I don't watch live TV, Jay.
Well, it's an old enough show that I don't think I was doing much DVRing at the time. But
that's fair. Yeah, it's ABC.
Yeah.
Wait, does that mean it's on Disney Plus?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Anyways. So it's this really cool like subversion of the family drama, where a lot of the like struggles the characters are having are these like creepy internal like, am I even a human questions?
Right. Or like I'm not sure how deep you dived into this in the summary, but like one of the subplots that was kind of interesting was like the daughter kind of having kind of a crush, I guess, on the boy who ends up getting shot by his father. And
yeah, it kind of had that feeling like it was going to be the beginning of a relationship, and then he dies.
Right. And it says, like, you know, she plays over in her memory banks, like, him asking her to do something with him over and over and stuff like that. That was kind of interesting.
The part where she, like, phases down to look at his corpse in his grave is really creepy.
It's also so talking about the ones that it kind of reminds me of, it kind of feels like they're trying to, and it is kind of interesting because with the technology level and stuff like that and where it is in the storyline, it has kind of like a very 1950s feel to it. But the technology level that they're using is basically modern day, and in some ways, like it kept having a shot of their floating
mailbox. Their mailbox has little like jets on the bottom of it, so it floats.
Because, but anyways, it kind of felt a little bit like Vision was just. He felt like happiness would be if he could have a family unit that felt like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. And like, even the clothes he wears are very Brady Bunch Leave It to Beaver. Like, he wears this suit to dinner with his family and stuff.
Right.
It's very sad. I have a confession. I haven't finished this series before. I've read up to issue 8 when it was coming out. And I had to stop because I left the country at that point. So, like, I reread the first 6 issues for this, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited to finish it. I really want to see where it goes.
You haven't finished it yet.
I've never finished it. No, I didn't have the.
You didn't have enough time as you were locked in your house with.
Dude, the 2 kids take a lot of time.
I believe you. I'm teasing. Well, I am very curious to hear what you end up thinking of how it ends.
Oh yeah, I'll be posting that in the Discord because that doesn't really fit right here. But
right, yeah. You mean you don't want to give your analysis of what you think of the ending you haven't read yet?
Yeah, right, I'm not ready.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. All right. Well, do you have any comments on the creative team?
They're real good. Honestly, I don't know anything else that the team has done. But I can tell you, I really like this Tom King guy. I believe he doesn't do much Marvel work. That's why I don't know him very well. Mm. Okay, I just Googled him. Yes, this is the only thing he's done for Marvel. Everything else he does is for DC Comics.
Oh, interesting.
So, I mean, his DC Comics must be awesome. Oh, he wrote Mr. Miracle. That was supposed to be, like, the best comic that year. Oh, okay, this is funny. So he wrote The Vision, and then the next year he wrote Mr. Miracle, and both of those were considered, like, the best comics of that, like, year or two.
Oh.
So he basically pulled the same, like, trick he did.
Had
so that's cool.
There. Do you have know anything on the artist for this one?
I'm gonna have to pull it up, I'm sorry. But it definitely is, like, very consistent and fantastic the whole way through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mundo? The artist's name is Mike Del Mundo. So I really like the entire thing. I'm sorry. It's Gabriel Hernandez Walta. So I think this is happening where, like, the artists are becoming more spread out than they've
right,
ever been.
Right.
So it's harder for me to, like, spot artists right away unless I'm really familiar with them.
Right.
But I think these are fantastic. I'm really impressed with everything. I really like how all the family is drawn, where they very obviously have, like, panels on their skin that separate, and, like, their hair looks really cool. I was very impressed with the whole thing.
So, do you have any additional background that you would like to go over about Vision?
I will say that, like, Vision has a really weird history because... Partly because they've done this thing where they, like, reset his brain. So, like, oh, he's in love with Scarlet Witch and we want to stop that. So what they would do is they, like, reset his brain. So he's like, I have all the memories, but not the emotions. And I don't love you anymore because I've never loved you. And it's like, what? So then Scarlet Witch would be, like, heartbroken and go somewhere else and fall in love with someone else. So I think Vision as a character has often been kind of used as a platform for his romance, or he's been kind of like, you know, the Avenger robot that does robot things for them.
It says in the background of this that he was created by Ultron, and that Ultron basically just wanted him to be a subservient, basically, not really have much free will or direction or whatever.
Yeah, he was created by Ultron to basically infiltrate and kill the Avengers. And so what he did was he pretty quickly, like, decided he could make his own choices, and he didn't want to personally attack them, so he stopped. And the Avengers kind of convinced him to be a good guy. I also think it's worth saying, because so many people get this a little confused, Vision does not have an Infinity Gem, and he's never really had one, as far as I know. The gem in his forehead is it's a solar gem, and so the way he gets his power is by absorbing solar energy, and then that's also how he can, like, he can shoot the solar energy out of the beam on his forehead. So
basically,
a lot of people,
what you're saying is that he is the Marvel version of Superman.
I mean, he's probably the closest of the current heroes to, like, the Superman level. There are definitely Marvel versions of Superman that are more in line with, like, what a Superman character should be.
Okay.
But Vision is definitely, like, I would say he's up there, right? He's ridiculously strong, and he shoots lasers and he flies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know DC as well, and B, mainly know them from their movies, but I thought I remembered basically Superman gained his powers from
the sun, yeah.
The sunlight. So that was...
Yes, that's... I didn't even... Honestly, my brain didn't even go there. So, yeah, you're right. They both get their power from the sun. So yeah, he's Superman. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that was actually what I was leading into when talking about Ultron, was asking if... I assumed then that in the comics there wasn't an Infinity Stone, but...
Yeah, no.
Which it... That then also makes sense that he doesn't have one of the gem bearer abilities.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot on people, like, when he just came out, there were a lot of people questioning, like, oh, why doesn't he have a gem bearer? Why can't he take the mind gem? And right. It's like, well, it's not a comic book thing for him to have a gem.
So, what did you think of the main characters that were in this arc?
So, the main, I would, real quick, the main characters are Virginia and the kids, right? I think Vision...
Maybe Vision, at least by the end of the arc, Vision is the main character, I would say. I'm not sure on the start of it.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, by the end of the arc, for sure. It's weird because it seems like he's more struggling to, like... Vision is struggling to, like, connect, almost, with his family. And he's trying to, like, dictate what they should do. And then they're trying to fit in and develop their own lives. I really like Virginia. I think Virginia's the main character because she's obviously right. The one who keeps doing these things that push the story forward. But I really like Vin, who is, like, trying to figure out almost, like, morality. And he's struggling with, like, am I a human? Am I like other people? And then Viv, who is basically, like, killed and then brought back by Iron Man and the Vision, and then she seems to be struggling with, like, survivor's guilt with her friend who dies, and maybe even, like, some form of, like, shell shock over dying. I love them. I love the whole, like, family dynamic of, like, it's a brand new family, right? Like, these are created, newly created people with the Vision. So you have these really, really cool parts where they, like the mom, the kids are like, I was programmed to be 16, and, like, I get, like, you can't just barge in on my room, and I was programmed to be an adult, you will listen to me. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, it, when, I, so, the next episode that when we start out, I'll ask you some questions about Virginia and kind of like her motivations and what's going on with her, and I'll be interested to hear your take on that, but I think that'll be a good starting out point for the next episode.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. All right. So have we selected the arc that we're doing for the next episode?
I picked one.
Lay it on me.
So so we're going to be doing the Winter Soldier for the next episode. Okay. And I will say this, there are a lot of, like, really well-made Winter Soldier comics. And the one I ended up with, so there's a comic book writer called Ed Brubaker, and he basically created the Winter Soldier, and he was in charge of Winter Soldier and Captain America for, I'd guess, like, a decade of writing. It's probably less time than that, but so we're going to be reading the Winter Soldier comic from 2012, and we're going to read issues 1 through 5, which are kind of the beginning of a bigger arc. But so it's Winter Soldier from 2012, and we're going to read issues 1 through 5.
Awesome.
Yes.
It will. So I don't have as much antipathy towards Winter Soldier as I do towards Hawkeye, but I do think that he's, like, obviously... he triggers some sort of insanity with Captain America, and so I am looking forward to reading this arc and discussing that character with you. So that'll be fun.
I'm excited. I think he's a really cool character, and he's kind of a fan favorite now.
Yeah, it seems like he is. I'm Mr. Naysayer here, evidently. Yeah.
So there used to be a saying with, like, comic book nerds, and they would say, like, only Bucky stays dead. And it's always cracked me up that old comic nerds can't say that anymore. Because they're like, ha, 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 ha.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and let people know what we think of our people supporting us on Patreon?
the people that support us on Patreon are the solar energy gem that we keep in our foreheads, and they power us, and they really are useful because thanks to them, we don't require food or sleep, and we can just keep making these podcasts forever. And we like that.
I can't remember if I 100% agree. B, I can't remember if this scene was in the first half or the second half, but basically the Vision family plus I think a guest all go out to a restaurant together.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't eat there, and then at the end he pays the check on
the food they would have ordered if
the
they,
food they would have ordered if they had ordered.
That's in the second half with yeah. With Victor.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was a really fun moment. Yeah, I really liked that. Ugh, this story is so good.
All right, well, stay tuned for the bonus episode where we'll continue talking about this story arc and about Vision in-game.